Well, warm welcome to you all this morning. It's lovely to see you here. Glad that you're able to join us and be part of our service of worship here at Gillingham Baptist Church. Welcome to those who are watching online as well. We're glad that you're able to be with us as well. Lots of people to say hello to. We've got Sarah here. She's back from her travels, so it's nice to have Sarah. We've got Colin and Ellen, who are former members here. It's nice to have you guys with us. We've got Becky and Evode. They are here, and Becky's mom, was it Louise? Yes? Oh, I remembered. They are going to be sharing with us a little bit later about an orphanage that they're involved in Rwanda, which will be very interesting, exciting as well. And welcome to others who are here, either for first or second or third time. We're very glad that you're able to be with us this Sunday morning. There is a lot happening today. We've got lots of things that are part of this service, and we just pray that God will bless our time together. The young people, the children are with us in that first 35, 40 minutes or so before going off to their own different groups. Sue is leading our worship for us this morning, so I'll hand over to Sue. Sue, thank you very much.
Stephen, morning everyone. Now, I have seen that some people have already picked up some flags, which is great. So we've got a couple of lively songs. So we do want some flag waving going on. I believe there's some upstairs as well. So if anybody wants a flag, wave it around. It doesn't have to be in time. I won't get too upset about it. Just enjoy worshipping the Lord. So let's stand if we can. Welcome, King of Kings. This is Amazing Grace. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you sent your son to die in our place. We can never understand what it cost you to do that. And all we can say, Father God, is thank you for your love to us. Thank you for sending your son. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for considering us worthy, but we're only worthy because of you. We thank you, Father God, for everything you've done for us. And we welcome you into this place today, that we can raise your name up in this place. We can all get closer to you, learn about you, and go out and tell others. Thank you, Father God, for your love for us. Amen. You can sit down if you want to, but we have another song. That would have been fun. Definitely a flag waving one.
Children, teenagers, listen to this. A story about a young teenage girl who sat in this church and listened many years ago, to a missionary couple called Jane and Roy Jones, who are very dear to us. And as she listened, the Lord placed little seeds in her heart. The Lord grew her heart for a love for mission. The Lord grew her heart for a deep desire, for a passion to pray, to give, and eventually to go. The Lord called her to Rwanda, and she fell in love with the country, she fell in love with the children, and she fell in love with Evode. And her daughter Kayser tells me she has 100 brothers. What a marriage. It's my hope that as you listen to Becky share today, that the Lord will plant the seeds in your heart, that you will have a desire to pray, that you will have a desire to give, and that you will have a desire to go. But also, I pray that you will catch the vision of the Ubeka Urawanda charity that Becky and Evode run. So it's my joy and pleasure to welcome Becky, Evode, who's sitting over there, give us a wave, and their three children, Keza, Caleb, and Daniel. Thank you, Becky.
Hi. Yeah, so I was actually born not far from here in Canada House. I went to Chatham Grammar School for Girls for 8 years, so who knows, I might have gone alongside some of your kids. So Ubeka Rwanda is Kinyarwanda, the local language, and it means to build Rwanda, because the thing that connected me and my husband when we first met is the firm belief that by working with the most vulnerable and building them up, that is how you restore a country, even a country that's been as broken as Rwanda has been with its history. We also took that because we were trying to find these big organizations to help us and support us. It wasn't initially our plan to register our own organization, but we kept being told street children are impossible, you can't help street children, focus just purely on orphans, focus on this, but street children, there's no hope for them. And we just didn't feel that that's what God was saying. So the Bible verse that God gave us was from Psalm 127, verse 1, that says, unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor in vain. And we felt so strong. It wasn't about my lack of capacity or his background or anything. It was about what God wanted to do, and we felt very strongly it wasn't about us, but it was about what God wanted, and God wanted to help those children. So in God's hands we would put it. Okay, you can put the next slide. So this is us. It's a very long name. The letter U in Kinyarwanda, most of it's phonetical, but that's an U sound. So we are the Usabayama Horos. That's our family name. So that's me and Evode. That's our daughter Keza, and our sons Caleb and Daniel. Those are our three biological children. You can put the next slide. So why do we focus on particularly street kids? So they might not technically be orphans. A lot of them aren't necessarily. A lot of them have been born out of wedlock, and that's still treated quite badly locally, but they are all abandoned children. And they still face a tremendous amount of stigma. They are often seen as a nuisance and as a problem, and so they can be mistreated a lot, which is very sad. There is in Rwanda, as in a lot of Africa, it's a young generation. So I think more than 65% of the Rwandan population are under the age of 18. So that means there's not enough family and not enough elders in the community to take care of kids. So when things go wrong, they often end up on the streets. They need stability. They need a safe and caring family. They need the access to school. A lot of them initially, sometimes that might be the reason why they left home. Might not necessarily have been abuse and neglect. It might be purely they thought if they went to the streets, they could find money and they could afford school fees. And that then once they got on the streets, they got caught in the vicious cycle of things there. But initially it was just a desire to be able to go to school. They need to be able to have balanced, regular meals. They need to be able to have access to healthcare and medical care, because a lot of them have poor nutrition. They're not able to wash, so they have big issues in that area. And, of course, the love of Jesus. Next slide. So that's what we do. So this is us with some of our boys taking a family photo. This is in our garden. And that's literally what we do. You can put on the next slide. So one of the first questions I often get asked is why boys? People will look and they'll see all of our street kids are boys. And there's a mix of reasons for that. In East Africa in general, most street children are boys. So in other parts of the world, like in India, you see more street girls than boys. In East Africa, it's more boys. And part of that is boys being perceived as a threat to blended families. So traditionally, males would inherit the family land. So then if there is a child born out of wedlock from a past relationship and he's male, then they tend to push those kids out because they don't want them to inherit over their own children. It's traditionally a bridal price system in Rwanda. So that's like the opposite to a dowry. So girls are worth finances, they're worth cows, they're worth land traditionally. So if you have adopt a girl or you take in a girl family member, then when she gets married, you can get land, you can get cash, you can get cows for her because of her value. But then that means with boys, you're supposed to be the ones giving the land, you're supposed to be the ones giving that. And so again, it means you get a lot more boys on the street than girls. And then there's also that girls, they might be put into or given domestic work. So there can be issues for the girls locally with being treated badly in the home, being treated more like a domestic servant than a valued family member. But that's why there's such a gender imbalance. And where we specifically work with street kids, that's why you will often hear even my daughter talking about her many brothers. Okay, so what exactly do we do? So this is our house. This is owned by our organization that we've been building gradually over the last few years. So we house the youngest ones. So the youngest street kids. If we find someone who's very young on the streets, the youngest we've ever taken in was 2 4-year-olds, then we will take them in immediately because it's just so unsafe for them. We take in the most vulnerable, whether that be mental health issues, may that be a traumatic background, an abusive home background, the ones with the biggest addiction problems, the most troubled, whatever the cause might be, and those with no decent family members, and they live with us. So we currently have 26 boys who live with us in our family home. We sleep upstairs, that's our private accommodation, and then downstairs is where the boys sleep, and then we have annex buildings for shared rooms like living room spaces and the kitchen, dining hall, things like that. We pay for primary school, we pay for secondary school, and we pay for trade schools, so that they, and then we help them with their studies. We pay for apprenticeships, and internships because we found that's the most effective way for them to be able to stand on their own when they're adults. We provide food. We provide medical care, social care. We work with families. We help trace families. We help support families and the local community to try and change the situations that create street kids. And we teach them about Jesus while we're doing that, through literally teaching the Bible and praying with them, but also through showing his love in a very practical way too. You can share the next slide. So you might be asking, what can I do? So if you online shop, basically for nearly any UK shop, it could be Boohoo, it could be your weekly grocery shopping, there is a very, very good website called Give As You Live. There's an app, there's a website, and you can choose any UK registered charity. Obviously, my preference would be you choose us, but you can do that for any place that you shop online in the UK. Argos, Marks and Spencer, everybody is on there. So, and then different online shops give a different percentage. So some it's 1%, some it's 5%, and I'll often tell you how much it is. But it's not on top. It's not like a charity donation. They give us a percent of your normal shopping. So it's a great way to support charities in the UK. You could sponsor one of our children or our young people. You could spread the word. Where me and Avode started this charity, we don't have a big budget, we don't have money to hire UK staff, we don't have anything like that, so we are very much reliant on word of mouth. So one of the best things you can do is just telling other people about us. You can commit to praying for us. It's intensive, it's very important work, but it is a lot. So I always say to people, one of the best things you can do is pray and just really join us with praying. You could fundraise on our behalf. You could do something that comes naturally to you. So if you're a baker, you could do a bake sale, do a sponsored walk, do something different. That's very okay. And you can consider volunteering. That could be you're interested in coming out to Rwanda, in which case you can talk to us, or here. My mum is overseeing. She's here. That's my mum there waving, Louise. So she helps us try and run a lot of the admin side. But it's, yeah, we always need people. I'm not really a big social media person. I'm not very good at emails and stuff. So if you're into those sort of things, then please, you can do something little, you can do something big. But and get other people praying and supporting us. So if that's something you're interested in, we will be here afterwards, and we'll be downstairs in the lighthouse, I think it's called, the coffee, and you can see us. Okay, the next slide. Okay, and then, obviously donating would be another way that you can help. So there is our account there. I forgot the little paper. I did print out some paper pamphlets. I know that some people prefer paper. So we are online, we are on Facebook, we do have a website and things. But I did print some of these if you want a bit more, and they're at the back, and I'll make sure they're downstairs if you're more of a paper-based person. If we run out, we can print some more. Okay, so I think if you have any more questions about the work we do, then yes, please come and talk to myself. You can talk to Evode, you can talk to our kids, you can talk to my mum. And Nikki and John have known us for quite a few years. You can talk to them too. Okay, all right, so thank you. That was just what I wanted to give you a bit of a background on us.
Let's pray for them both. Here comes Evode. Doesn't look too bad considering he's got 100 sons, does he? Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you are faithful. You have been faithful to Becky and Evode. Thank you, Lord, that you are Jehovah Jireh. You are our provider for the many things that you have provided for each one of them along the way. And for them together in their home. Thank you for their beautiful children, their lovely family, and for all that they do. Thank you, Lord, for your calling, for their faithfulness to your calling. Thank you for equipping them to do this amazing work. And thank you for the many, many lives that their ministry has touched over many years and is still touching. Thank you, Lord. We pray your blessing on each of them. And on the whole family as they have a break here in UK and try and share the news about their charity. And we pray every blessing on those boys who are at home and missing their mum and dad. So thank you, Lord, for them both. May you use this charity as a pointer to you about your love, your care, your provision and your amazing blessing. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I also forgot to say, if any of you are around on the 6th of August, St. Philip and St. James's Church or Pippin Jim's, where I've attended since I was a little teen, they are hosting an evening with us, and there will be food, and that will be free. So if you're interested in that, then you're very welcome to come along on Wednesday, the 6th of August. But you can let the lounge know so that we can let them know that to cook for you.
In Christ alone.
Father.
come on, come on down, come on, come back, come. Where do you guys, yeah, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. And I'm looking for Teresa. Is Teresa here? Teresa. There you are. Come on. I am not a happy man. I am not a happy man. Do you know why I'm not a happy man? Because we are saying goodbye to some wonderful, splendid people today. So, it's a thing that happens. People have to move on for work and all sorts of reasons. And so, Sean, who is... trainee doctor has been working at Medway and doing a splendid job, but now she has been snaffled by a hospital in Yorkshire. I am from Yorkshire, not from Hull, but Hull, East Riding. Oh no. But James and Sean, we are so well grateful for you being with us. It was lovely last year when we conducted your wedding. That was an exciting day, and it's been wonderful having you here, and we are very sorry that you are disappearing, but we'll pray God's blessing on you today, but we'll keep on praying for you both as well. Yeah, Teresa in the middle there is another doctor at Medway Hospital, and he's also going... There's something about August. All the medical profession seem to clap their hands in August and move. And Teresa, you're going to Margate, is that right? Yes, yes. Well, it's not far. You see, it's only up the road. It's not like Hull. You can slip back. You're allowed. But again, thank you for being with us. And come back any time you like. Margate's not as nice as Medway, but we are here. And then Dorcas and the children, they are moving to Peterborough. Is that right? Peterborough, yes. Why is everyone going? It's just not right. What we are going to do, when you go out the building today, you will all be given a tag which sets off an alarm if you leave Medway. It's not true, but anyway. We would be grateful if there weren't any other exoduses over the next few years. That would be very good. But we're so sorry you're going, but we know it's good for the family, it's good for you. And so. And you're happy with the... You've got the new house all sorted and things? Yeah, yeah, that's good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these wonderful people. We thank you for the way that you have brought them to us. And we thank you for the blessing that they have been to us in this place over the past few years. Father, we thank you that your hand remains upon them, that you are leading them and guiding them to good places and to good people. And we thank you so much that your presence goes with them, that your leading will be with them. And Father, we thank you that you have got good things in store for them in the coming years. Lord, may you bless them, may you be with them in the travelling, in the changing of places, in finding the accommodation, in adjusting to new surroundings. Lord, be with them and help them in that tricky process. But Father, may you just bless them richly. May you grant them great joy in their new workplaces, in their new homes, in their new schools, etc. Father, go with them, we ask and pray, with our love, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Don't be strangers. We are here. And if you need a holiday, then there is an excellent place called Medway. And you can... But bless you all. Thank you so much. All right. We are going to take an offering now for the work of the church here. If you are able to make a gift, that is always appreciated. We understand that others aren't in that fortunate position. But if you can, then we'll take an offering now. Let's pray together, shall we? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a great God, and we bless you for all that you are and all that you have done. We thank you for your work in our lives. We thank you for your bounty and your provision. We thank you for the way that you lead us, that you speak into our lives. And we thank you that you, the living and the loving God, have been at work within us. Father, we bless you and praise you for that. Father, we lift gifts to you this day. We pray that you would indeed bless them. And we pray too that you would bless those who give them and bring them. And we pray that you would accept our praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. So, children and young people are going to go to their own groups now. The youngest children downstairs with Julia, the junior age children with Sharon in the upper room, the junior Bible class, that sort of years 7 and 8, are with Ruth and Leon, and the older Bible class downstairs in the lighthouse. Let's just close our eyes, shall we, for a few moments. Father, we thank you that you are the God and creator of this world, that you have brought all things into being. We thank you that you constantly care for this world that you have made, and all the people within this world. And we thank you that you are at work in this world, weaving your good and perfect purposes in this imperfect world of ours. And Father, we thank you for that. Lord, may you continue to work behind the scenes to bring peace and justice within this world of ours, working in those troubled places, those conflict zones, working in those places of corruption, those places of evil. Father, may you be there to bring your goodness and your love to bear fruit. We pray for our own community here in Medway, praying, Lord, that you'd reach out to those who are hurting, to those who are broken. Father, may you mend lives. May you mend families. May you make broken families whole again, we pray. And for those who are unwell, those who need your healing touch and power, we just commend them to you as well. Think of Liz and just pray for Liz that there'll be a date through for her surgery very soon. We pray for Donna and for Stephen Harper, not able to be with us today. We pray for Christina, who is here, and Lord, we pray your blessing into Christina's life and pray that you'd touch her with your loving and healing hand. We pray for Kelly this week, who's going down to hospital to the start of a process so that she'll have... tell me what it is. Dialysis, thank you. And Lord, we lift to you others as well who are on our hearts and our minds this day, who need your help, young and old alike. Reach out to them, Lord, we pray, and touch them at their points of need, we ask. Yes. Father, thank you that you hear us, and thank you that you help us. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple of weeks ago, Melvina works down at the Sunlight Centre and was part of the Bridge Church for a number of years. Melvina asked if she could come and just share something that she God had put on her heart. Because of the theme that we're going to be looking at in a little while that Sarah's going to share with us, I thought it was a good opportunity this morning. So, Melvina, if you want to come and share, that would be really good. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Ah, what beautiful you are. I'm not quite used to this, and what I've got to share is words that the Lord gave me in September 24. I'll just find it for you. Okay, the first thing that the Lord gave me in September of 24, tell my people I'm coming. Tell my people I am coming soon. Put on their white garments and look to me. This is not to scare you. This is to lift you up, to prepare you, to make you aware that our Lord Jesus is coming back. The groom is coming for his bride soon. And when we see all the things that are happening around us, we can see the signs that God is showing us. And we, as children of the Lord, know these signs from his word. The next thing that the Lord gave to me, much later down in April, button down your hatchets. If there is a storm coming, we need to prepare our hearts. We need to make things right. And we need to be right in the Lord for his return. There's a turbulence, next word, as in a flight. There is things going on in this world that look scary, but fear not, because God is with us and he's going to carry us and see us through it. But like a bride, we must prepare ourselves to meet our groom. Put on our white garments and be ready for the blessed day when he comes to claim his bride. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Malvina. Thank you very much indeed. Sarah Ray is going to preach for us this morning. And as many of you know, on Thursday she went for her ministerial recognition interview over at Hawley Baptist Church, and she passed that. So on Tuesday we will be making a decision at church meeting to take Sarah on as our minister in training from September. That's our meeting on Tuesday. Before Sarah comes, Caden is going to come and bring our Bible reading for us. Caden, over to you.
I'm going to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men, who gave no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are still left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet, with the call of God, and that dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be there with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words.
So, Sarah, we're delighted that you're you've got through on Thursday. It's a bit of a nerve-wracking thing, I know, wasn't it?
But, sweating,
but have you got that head?
I don't know.
I don't think you have you? That doesn't look right at all.
I don't know.
So, no, let's try.
My mum said it.
I'm sure, didn't I? I don't know where your ears are.
Well, let me talk.
I'll tell you what, go.
I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
Oh, my gosh.
You see, I don't have this problem.
Sorry, Mom, if you're watching. Is it like
that's right. That's right. That's it. That's
okay,
it. That's
go.
Good.
Let's
that's
get
good.
The sermon.
Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you for Sarah. We thank you for the gifts that you've given her. We thank you for your call upon her life. And we just pray your anointing upon her today, but in the coming days as well. Be with her in the summer as she goes away. Be with her at the training camp this week with the Nepalese young people. And be with her too when she goes over to Nepal in the week after as well. Lord, may you continue to bless her, protect her, keep her safe. And may your face smile upon her, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Right. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Hopefully this doesn't fall off. Could we have the first slide, please? That would be grand. Thank you so much. So today my topic, Milvina, where is she? There we go. Thank you so much. God bless you for your sharing. I did take a note down. It's very much in line with the first word, especially all of the words that you've shared. So I want to address the rapture of the church. Now, this isn't going to be like a very comprehensive sermon or a teaching. As you can see from this timeline, it's quite simple. But it's just to break it down. It's just an introduction. Praise God. So from this timeline, you can see the past ages, and then you see the cross. So we've had the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Praise God. And now, after that, we've entered into the time of the church age. So that's where we're at presently, prophetically speaking anyways. As many people say, you know, this is a time of God's grace. Praise God. And, you know, Pastor was sharing with us his sequel on missionary people. So we have this focus of preaching the gospel and ensuring that as many people can be saved and, you know, come with us to meet the Lord at some point. So that's what we're going to be talking about. I'm not going to be going over every single bit of this timeline, but it's just there for you as a just visual aid. So the rapture of the church is the position that I take. If you believe that we're not going to be raptured, and you might be thinking like, what is rapture? We'll go on to that. It's just a disclaimer, okay? So if you don't agree with me, if you don't think that this is gonna happen before that 7 year of devastating tribulation, that's okay. We're still brothers and sisters in Christ, okay? It's okay. Okay, I'm not going to argue about it with anyone. But this is just, I'm presenting to you my understanding and interpretation of scripture, and just to encourage you. Praise God. The rapture of the church is slightly different to the second coming of Christ. But of course, in the upcoming time that I'll spend with you, we could uncover that. But today, we're specifically focusing on the rapture of the church. So next slide, please. So the focus scripture that Caden kindly had read for us, I'm just taking just verse 17, 18. So after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Verse 18 is what I'm trying to do. Just be faithful to the word. I'm trying to encourage you. This topic isn't meant to induce fear in you. But as a believer, it will induce some excitement in you. And it will just strengthen your hope in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay. So that's what is my main motive, to encourage you. But the word, that phrase, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up. So will be caught up has been left in bold because we're going to look at the word briefly, caught up. Next slide, please. So hopefully I've not got it mixed round, but believe in Greek, if not in Hebrew, the word would be harpazo. I don't know if I butchered that pronunciation. Anyways, the definition, so caught up, that definition is to sneeze. I'm sorry, I must be tired. To seize, to snatch, to take away by force. Hallelujah. So, harpazo, what's going to happen is the snatching up of the believers, okay? So this is going to happen whilst we're still on earth. And suddenly we're going to be caught up in the air. And take away by force helps us to put into perspective. It's not going to be by human effort. It's not going to be like you're jumping on a trampoline so high and then you get stuck up in the air. That's not what we're talking about. Taken away by force could be implied in a negative way, but in this context is positive. It's by the power of God, okay? We're going to be caught up in the air. So this is the position that I take, which is the pre-tribulation rapture. But of course, you don't have to believe what I say. You could study the scripture for yourself and discern for yourself. So my message is the rapture of the church. So this catching up in the air with those that were dead in Christ. So maybe it will be your loved ones, your family members who are no longer here with us right now. But it's exciting that not all of us are going to be united in the air with the Lord. Hallelujah. Again, this is not the second coming of Christ because scripture says we'll meet the Lord in the air. The Lord's feet haven't touched the ground yet on earth. That will be more to do with when his feet touches the Mount Olive, the same way how he ascended into heaven. But this is not what we're talking about yet. So we will rapture up with him and we will meet our Lord and Savior. Praise God. So the rapture of the church is imminent. Okay. So there's no other sign that needs to happen. You know, the sky doesn't need to turn red. You know, the sky won't be falling down. There's not much that needs to happen for this rapture of the church. It can happen anytime. It can happen right now. It can happen in 2 minutes' time. It can happen in a month's time. No one knows the day or the hour. We don't have the right to calculate when it's going to happen. Only the Father knows. But we have the right to know that it's going to happen, okay? And for the believer, this event should be a very exciting thing. And if you're not so excited about it, then it's something you need to reflect on why. What's wrong? Okay, next slide, please. If there was a clip, but I don't think it's going to work, so we will move on. So basically, this clip was just showing a preacher just preaching, just like I'm doing right now. And then as he's preaching, saying, we don't know the day nor the hour. It could happen in 2 minutes' time. It can happen in 2 hours' time. The Lord is coming soon. Be prepared. And as he's preaching, he raptures up, and many people from the church rapture up as well. But unfortunately, some people are left behind. This, as much as it's a message of encouragement, I would like to also present it as a message of warning and for you to take precaution. Just because you come to church, and I'm not saying you, it's just the way I speak, but just because someone comes to church doesn't mean they're right with God, doesn't necessarily mean they're a Christian. Okay, so it's really important, I'm no one to judge you, but it's really important that you reflect your walk with the Lord yourself. Because I don't know what's going on in your heart, you don't know what's going on in my heart. You know, scripture says that man looks at the outer appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart, right? So where are you with the Lord? Why didn't everyone rapture up, be caught up in the air? And we will go on to that in a moment. But the rapture of the church is something that is important to us as Christians. And the reason why I'm speaking on it is because it could happen at any point, at any moment of our lifetime. So there will be scoffers. 2 Peter 3:3-4 says, above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. You might be partaking amongst the scoffers, or you might be people who are trying to sound the alarm to your community, to even Christians and to non-believers, but they're like, we've heard about this since, I don't know, 1910 or 1940. It hasn't happened yet. So people just become very complacent. Even believers become complacent. You might be like, Sarah, before you were even born, we've been hearing about this teaching and it's not happened yet. Okay, you might be thinking like that. And then some reason we've become stale. I'm not saying you have, but it might be the case. So hopefully this is like a splash of ice cold water into your spirit for you to wake up. Because people say everything's just been going on since the beginning of creation, like normal. But Melvina was sharing, nothing is normal. Have you not seen? I don't watch TV, but I do keep up to date with what's happening in the world. Nothing is normal. It's all wrong. It's not nice. So we know that right now there's not just rumors of wars, but actual wars are taking place. Even our nation, behind the scenes, preparing for military action. There's tension between nations. There's tension within nations. Sin has become normalized. It's become so normal that either we call it mistakes and try to put a pretty cute bow on it, and we don't call sin for what it is, which is sin. Or we just, sin is so normal that even within Christendom, sin doesn't feel, there's no conviction of sin anymore. And I know this might seem like very uncomfortable when we talk about sin, but sin is sin. It leads you to nowhere but to death. It disconnects you from God and it leads you straight to the pits of hell. I'm not a brim and firestone kind of preacher, but sometimes we need to address these kind of topics. Why? Because if we keep just feeding sweet teachings, your sugar levels in the spirit is going to increase. It's going to lead to a lot of spiritual diseases, okay? So what I'm trying to say is just me telling you Jesus loves you. There's grace for you. Yeah, blessings will pour into your life. Yeah, that's true. That's just one side of the truth. At first, Christ came as a servant king. right? With abundant, just grace, abundant, embodying grace and pouring out grace. But the next time he comes, he's coming as a king who's going to establish righteous judgment. He's not coming for peace the second time he comes around. He's bringing his sword. So that's why I try, as much as you need that balance of knowing that Jesus loves you, you have the love of God, but you also need to have the fear of the holy God. Holy reverence. If you just have love, but you don't have that healthy fear of God, you just have this kind of sentimental feelings towards God, but you're feeling some, you know, you're feeling some positive feelings about God, but so do non-Christians. There's many non-Christians that believe in Jesus as maybe one of the gods, or maybe as just a prophet, and they respect him, but that's not enough. He is the Lord and Savior. He is God, and he is the only God. So, next slide, please. People will scoff, but that's just part of the, that is just part of prophecy. That's just what's going to happen. You have to keep going. Keep proclaiming the gospel and sounding the alarm. And you might ask, why has it not happened yet? 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. It's because God is merciful. He's being patient with you. He's being patient with me. If God came a few years ago, I would not have made it. And I still need to be careful if I'm going to make it or not. Because every day I need to make sure that my heart posture is correct with the Lord. So again, there's no time, there's no space to be complacent and lukewarm. God says that, you know, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out. And it sounds harsh, but he will spit you out. People will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Lord, Lord, have we not healed the sick in your name? Lord, have we not done all these things in your name? And he will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I do not know you. It is so important to be known personally by God. Yes, he knows everyone because he created everyone, but personally known by God. So that's why it's really important our heart posture is correct. I could be doing this preaching, serving, you know, and all these things. But if I'm not walking in love and my heart posture is not correct, I could be left behind. And it's not just, oh, you know, like some people, like sometimes like older, like adults in my community, they're like, oh, Sarah, you know, you're young and, you know, you're trying to live for the Lord. Oh, good. And they're kind of like, I can see their complacency because they think that somehow they could just vicariously live through me. And serve the Lord in that way. Like, if I'm preaching, then they're preaching. If I'm evangelizing, they're evangelizing. And I always encourage, it doesn't matter your age, there's always something to do in the Lord. And especially to have that personal relationship with God. But don't rely on me. What if I fall and stumble? God forbid. But what if I backslide? Will you backslide with me? What if your minister backslides? God forbid. I'm not saying that. But it's just an example. Will you backslide with your minister? No. You have to have a personal relationship with God. Amen. Yes, you come to receive from the word of God, but you need to study the word for yourself. You don't just vicariously feed yourself by watching someone else eat, do you? No, you eat food for yourself. So why do you play around with the word of God? So why it's not happened yet is because the Lord is so gracious and merciful, and he's in his mercy, he wants people to receive the gospel and to come into that personal relationship with him. There's still nations and parts of nations that have not yet heard the gospel. The gospel's not reached there. And although it is speeding up because of digital technology and all these things, there are still rural areas where the gospel's never been preached. Now, the Bible doesn't say when every single person hears the gospel, then the end will come. It's when every nation hears the gospel, when the gospel is preached in every nation. Once the gospel is preached in every nation, not every single person, but every nation, then the end will come. And I do not think that we're too far from that moment. Next slide, please. So Romans 5:9, and this is why I present to you why I believe that we won't be part of the horrendous 7-year tribulation. Romans 5:9, since we now have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Praise God. There was another verse, but just for time, I'll just present to you this. But study your own Bible, that it says time and time again that we'll be saved from the day of the Lord, which usually is connected with the wrath of the Lord. Okay, you know, we've sang, you know, that God's wrath has been satisfied. Yes, through Jesus Christ and his death and his burial, his resurrection, God's wrath towards sin has been satisfied. But there's still that righteous judgment that needs to be established. There's still that residue of wrath left in God that he needs to pour out, and he needs to judge. And that's why I believe that, you know, if you are right with God, why is he going to put you through all that wrath? Like, why would you have to go through that? If you're right with God, you have been washed by the blood of Christ. You are his righteousness in Christ Jesus. And I don't believe that God will put his righteous ones through his wrath. So this is why I believe what I believe, but of course, you're free to understand the Bible as the Spirit leads. Next slide, please. But who then will be, who might be left behind? Romans 2:5. But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. I'm aware, you know, there is that great white throne of judgment. Yes, that will happen after the rapture. But I'm saying that, you know, that the terrible, terrible times that are coming ahead, I do not believe that we'll be part of it if we are rapture ready. But for the one who is stubborn and they have an unrepentant heart, whether that's a non-Christian that just refused to give their life to Christ, or a Christian who just started to become complacent and then harden their heart and they become unrepentant. Whoever it is, you're storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath. And that is not a nice thing. That is not cool. And it's the thing that, you know, it's terrible in the music industry. I don't listen really to secular music, but from the things that I've seen, snippets of interviews and stuff, like through Christian content, like, you know, people joking about hell. There's award shows that are presenting hell like it's some glorified thing and it's funny. It's not a joke. When Christ was on the cross and he was, you know, the pain that he felt, I do not believe, you know, he felt forsaken by the Lord, and, you know, he was saying, take away this cup, it's too much for me, because he wasn't able to bear the weight of the world's sin, but because he wasn't able to bear the separation with the Father, even for a moment. That's the most painful thing. You need to understand that we are God's creation. And to be disconnected from the Creator is the most terrible and devastating thing that could happen to you and I. That's painful. And then there's hell, you know, with the burning and all that. But yeah, both very painful combined. It's just horrible. So then that's when his righteous judgment will be revealed. So as you can see, in the you have the 3.5 years and the next 3.5 years. Within the 7 years, the latter 3.5 years is known as the Great Tribulation. And scripture, for example, I believe Revelations 9:6 will say, in those days, people, the torment is going to be so much that people will want to die, but death will run away from them. That inescapable torment parallels the inescapable torment in hell. It's just a horrible time to be, and I just, for me, it just doesn't sit right with me that the believers of God are going to be taking part of that. But what I'm trying to say is, if for whatever reason we're left behind, the only way then to be saved and to be made right with God is through martyrdom. Because there's this thing called the mark of the beast. So this number 666, I'm not going to try to say what it is, because people come up with different things a long time in history. You know, people even trying to relate it with digital AI. I don't know. Okay, I'm not going to conspire over that. But what I'm saying is that you will either take the mark, and that will be something that is unrevocable. Like, you cannot repent once you've taken the mark of the beast. Once you've taken the mark and you've submitted to Satan, that's it. There's no, Lord, one more chance, one more time. That's going to be it. But if you are to be saved in those devastating times where the Antichrist is going to reign terror, the only way to be saved is to not compromise on your faith, but they're going to kill you. Okay? And I know this doesn't sound flowery and nice, but that's why I'm saying that may this be a sobering message. Next slide, please. So the rapture is not something to be missed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 to 53, you could read that in your own time if you're a note taker, but it says, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye. The 1 Thessalonians 4 that Caden read for us, that focus scripture, and 1 Corinthians 15, I believe, are talking about the same event. And this one is talking about how our bodies are going to change. I believe in the Greek, is the word alasso. It's to be changed and transformed. It's where you're going to have a glorified, indestructible, incorruptible body. Just absolutely pure, amazing body. And you're going to be glorified in that way. But what the point I'm trying to make is, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, there won't be any time to prepare for the rapture of the church. When the rapture of the church happens, the time to be prepared is now. Because the next thing will be the devastating tribulation. And the thing is, if we're compromising right now, then how, I don't know how on earth you're going to think that you're going to make it during the tribulation. If you compromise in the small things, while it's easy to be, pretty much easy to be Christian, especially in this nation, if you're taking it lightly now, there's no way that you're going to make it. I'm sorry, I don't have faith in you that way. Like, if that's the posture that you take right now, there's no time to play around with your faith. Don't flirt with sin. And it's a message for me as much as it's a message for you. That's why we can't just keep calling sin mistakes. Because sin is sin. It's something that we really have to get a grip in the spirit with. Praise God. So I haven't really touched too much on, you know, what happens during the tribulation, because it's more about, you know, being prepared for the rapture of the church. But I just wanted to let you know why, if it's going to happen, okay, if it's going to happen, why you don't want to miss it, why I don't want to miss it. You know, Apostle Paul says, you know, lest I be disqualified. He might be preaching and doing all these things, but he always had in his mind that I should not be disqualified. Okay, just being a preacher doesn't straight away mean you're qualified, right? Again, it's your heart posture with the Lord. Next slide, please. So, you know that I like to give you, like, you know, practical tips or, you know, action points. So how do you prepare? Because I've said, you know, are you prepared? But you might not know. You have to have faith in Jesus Christ. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Not just as your best friend. You know, it's nice to hear those things. Yeah, God is our best friend and all these things. But you need to teach children from a young age, not just Jesus Christ is their best friend, because then they're just going to take him lightly. He is your Lord and your Savior. You teach a child the way it should go, and then the child won't depart from it. Oh no, he's too young. He won't be able to pray. No, she won't be able to. No. Train them while they're young. As parents, parents have such an important role, must I say. You know, Because what I'm doing right now is just a fraction of the service unto God. Parents, you have such an important responsibility. You know, it's not about forcing your children into faith, but you have a responsibility. Like, I don't know, maybe it's just a cultural thing. My parents wouldn't be like, oh, if you want, you can sit in Bible class at home. They'll be like, sit down, you know. They'll be like, sit down, take the prayer. But that sowed a seed. And the thing is, may it not be about culture, may it just be that, you know, you feel that sense of responsibility and just that call from God, praise God. But what I'm trying to say is have faith in Christ Jesus, personal faith, as your Lord and Savior who's forgiven your sins. Have faith in His Word. Hebrews 11 is all about by faith, you know. The saints of old, the things that happened to them was by faith. For example, one person who was raptured up before he died was Enoch. Hebrews 11:5 says, by faith, you know, he was taken up. God took him before he even died. It's by faith. When you hear the shout of the Lord, the voice of the archangel, the last trumpet, you're not going to hear the sound of the trumpet by human effort. It's not by sticking your ear out from the window, pressing your ear against the door really hard and hoping that you're going to hear it. It's not, maybe it's, if people wear hearing aids, it's not by turning your hearing aid up. It's not going to work. It's by faith. If you don't have faith, you're not going to hear that trumpet. It's by faith. Everything, you know, everything works by the principle of faith in Christendom. So, what do you need to do? Have faith in Christ, have faith in His Word, make every effort to walk in love. Because without love, what does God say? It's just like you're this just noisy gong. You could be doing all these Christian stuff, but without love, there's just mumbling and grumbling in your heart, or hatred in your heart, unforgiveness and sin in your heart. But outwardly, you appear loving. Inwardly, there's no ounce of love. Then it's not, none of it's going to matter. He's going to say, who are you? I don't know you. Be at peace with God, again, having that faith, being reconciled with God through Christ Jesus. And live in holiness and obedience. Holiness is not something that we need to strive and struggle for. But we wear holiness through Christ Jesus. The scripture says, be holy as I am holy. That means it's possible for us to live in holiness and obedience. The more we think that holiness is something that is just something we cannot reach, something that we cannot do, the harder it's going to, you know, our mindset will be stuck in that. It'll be harder for us. And the more we might be easily given into temptations. Or, you know, oh, we're just imperfect human beings. Yeah, there's imperfection in us. There's flaws in all these things. But we're not meant to just be celebrating it. We're meant to be living in holiness. Okay? And obedience. If we claim to love Jesus Christ, God says, if you love me, you will obey. If you love me, you will obey. And what does His Word say? Not just going to sit here telling you everything, like, you know, because there's general will of God, you know, that's in the Bible. And then, once you're following the general will of God, you know, praying always, give thanks always, this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. When you follow obey the general will of God, then as you walk with the Lord, He will tell you the specific will He has for you in your life. If you're not following the general will, why on earth will He tell you what, you know, His specific blueprint is for you? You need to take the first step for Him to tell you what the second step is. Okay? So live in obedience. And living in obedience means, you know, having faith in Christ, living for God. And that doesn't mean that everyone now needs to become a preacher or something like that. Just as you are where you are, you can serve God in love with joy, in your workplace, in your home, in your community, as the Lord leads, okay? There's no role that's more important or less important, okay? Just be faithful with how God has called you to be and to do. Because those who will be raptured by faith. So the question as I finish, I want to present to you is, are you rapture ready? Are you rapture ready? Because if it's not going to happen, like, you're not going to lose anything. We're just going to go through the tribulation holding hands together. Like, you know, we're just going to suffer together through it. But if rapture happens, what about then? Are we ready? And are we preparing others? So those are the two questions that I'll leave you with. And yes, smile, cheer up, God bless you. But yeah, that's what I'll leave you with. God bless you.
Picked a song that does fit pretty well with that. It's very old. Some of the team know it. This lady knows the author of it because she used to know Graham Kendrick when she was at college. So let's stand if we can. There's a sound on the wind like a victory song.
Thank you, Sue. Thank you, Sarah. And let's just pray, shall we? Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the challenge of your word. Help us to apply that word to ourselves, to hold it as a mirror. Lord, may we indeed be rapture ready. May we indeed be rapture ready. Help us to bring our lives in line with your will and purpose. Help us to bring our lives into that place of obedience to you. Lord, may your spirit move in our hearts and minds. May you reassure us. May you challenge us according to your perfect will for our lives. Father, thank you for your word. May it continue to speak into our beings, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to finish by singing a hymn, a great hymn of the church. I cannot tell why he whom angels worship. If you need to go and collect your children, then please do go collect them while we are singing this hymn. There's some notices just to finish with at the end. Thank you. Dan.
Why he who angels worship.
How quick can I do the notices? Right. Tea and coffee downstairs. Prayer ministry over here. If anybody would like prayer related to Sarah's sermon, some of us around here will be very happy to pray with you if that would be of help. Sarah has to dash off. She's going off to the Nepalese Christian Fellowship straight after the service. Church meeting on Tuesday, special church meeting about Sarah's appointment as student minister from September. There are accounts available. Penny's going to be bringing the accounts on Tuesday as well. Copies of that are available or will be available on the table out there or from Penny herself. Wednesday night's Bible study, I think that's right. Yes, it is. Thursday morning's Good News at 10. Oh, Borstal Fellowship Tuesday at 10 o'clock in the morning. Saturday, Dan and Colin and John Wilkins are doing a concert, fundraising concert at the URC Church. That's at 1 o'clock. Details in the newsletter. If anybody is available on Tuesday, Kelly needs to get down to Canterbury Hospital for 9:15. If anybody is free to take her down and ideally to bring her back, that will be really helpful. So either have a word with me or have a word with Kelly directly if you can give her a lift on Tuesday. And we're looking at a baptismal service on the 7th of September. Let's pray together. Lord, bless us as we go from this place. Fill us with your love, your joy, and your peace. May your blessing fall upon us. May your anointing go with us as we leave this place. Father, minister to our needs and the needs of all those who we love and care for. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just to say as well, Becky and Evode will be very happy to talk to you about the orphanage. There are some flyers, information, prayer things on the table as people go out. But please do hang around, talk to them about the orphanage and any way that you might be able to help. Thank you. God bless. Take care.